it's his turn. Okay, well, let him have it then.
That's why I said to him.
Yeah, let him have it. You just don't.
Thank you.
Gate. Good morning, Gateway family. Welcome to our morning worship service. Would all those who are able please join us as we sing The One Thing Remains. Good morning, good morning. All those who are able to stand, won't you stand with us as we sing our first song?
Higher than the one thing that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and in the change, one thing remains, one thing remains, your love never fails. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. On and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. One thing remains, one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid, there's nothing ever separate my heart from your great love.
In death, church,
in death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, your love, your
morning, Gateway. Are you all well? Please extend greetings to those around and about you, please. Hello again. And when you've greeted each other, you may sit down. God is good. All the time. This morning I just woke up and just realized God is good. I'm thankful for who we are, who God has created us to be. Yesterday I spent half my day in Khayelitsha. It's 40 kilometers from here. Katlahong. Sorry. I was in Katlahong. Oh, gee, and it was Cape Town. Sorry if it was any. But I was in Cat Tla Hong. It's about 40 kilometers from here. You go down the highway, you turn left, and you're grateful for what you have when you actually see how other people live and how they live off very, very little. So let's be grateful for what we have. Pastor Andre, are you in the house? Can you just share with the folk about the walking in victory?
Yes. On my way past Muizenberg this morning, you know, I just thought,
You see. Happens to all of us. Huh?
But I saw him past his car. Philippians 3 verse 13. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to take hold of it, but one thing I do, a determined man, but one thing I do, I forget what's behind me, and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I think, you know, one of the greatest challenges for me is to be very focused in life. And it's not always easy, you know, because, there's so many stuff happening, you know. I say the three enemies you and I have is yourself, the biggest one, the devil and the world. And they are very active to try to distract you constantly from what God wants you. But if you determine to strain to get the prize... Listen here, folks, I've got good news for you. All going to die one day. Isn't it? Yeah, we're all going to die. And then we're going to get a prize. Believe me or not, you're going to get a prize. You're not going to just stand in heaven and play the violin. You're going to actually have a prize as well. And that prize is going to determine how effectively you let go of the past. And then you got hold of that what's lying ahead. And the thing, what walking in victory is about, is to enable you to truly get free from everything that's holding you back, so that you can have the capacity to take hold of what's lying ahead. Amen. Good. I'm going for Muizenberg again. Muizenberg.
Okay. Enjoy, bro. And then just also... for you, just a reminder, you'll find it in the pew bulletin that Pastor Andre and Ina, Auntie Ina, Tani Ina, are starting a discovery group at their home, 22 Litchwe. Am I correct? Okay. Not Kai Licha, Litchwe Avenue. but if you need to know anything more about the discovery group, please speak to him. And then also... starting from next week, from the first week in February, myself and Francis will be starting a discovery group at the Manse in 11 Salon Road. Everything's confusing in Kempton Park. It's Road, Avenue, Circle, you know. So but please join us. We are starting a discovery Bible study group. From next week, the 5th of February, and if you'd like to have or know more information, please speak to me. And then, Karina has asked me to ask if there is somebody in the congregation as of next month. From the 28th of February, which is next month, through March, to just assist with collecting bread for the Thursday morning Dan Road project. So if, on a Wednesday, but to collect it on Wednesday for Thursday. If you need any further information, please speak to Karina. But we need one person, but if you could just speak to Karina. This morning, I'd just like to ask all the children to come forward. I know you're sitting on the side there, you're comfortable, but I need you all to come and sit over here, please. If I can ask all the children, the teachers in the background, just to maintain control if you can. If Do you sit over there and look up at my beautiful face? Have a seat, guys. Sit on the floor. It's not that hard. There's about a 3 millimeter carpet there to make it comfortable. And everybody else wants to join Carl, please come forward. Do your parents have insurance on you guys? Because I'm going to do a live experiment here, and it might blow up in our face. I know I'm insured, my wife's okay, my children are fairly okay. what I want to share with you this morning is, the Bible tells us that when God created the earth in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis, that the world that he created was perfect. God created Adam and Eve, and if my memory serves me correctly, he made them on the sixth day, and then he said that they were good and perfect. But then the Bible tells us that something terrible happened in chapter 3 of Genesis, that sin, okay, I know it looks red, I couldn't find black food coloring, but sin came into the world. And what happened was that sin didn't just come through the devil, but it contaminated our hearts. I've got a reason that I'm doing that. And does that water look nice? Your heart, does it look good? What does that look good? Let's say that was black. Not nice, eh? All right, that's what happens when sin came into the world. It made our hearts go, oh, ugh. And what happens is God looks down from heaven and he says, I don't like that heart anymore. I hate sin. I cannot take sin. And so God tried all kinds of things. It tells us in the Bible that God created the nation of Israel and he gave them a promise through Abraham, a covenant. And what happened was that there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had a son called Joseph, and his son went to Egypt. You know all that story, all right? And then they lived in Egypt, and they came back. And then God created the Ten Commandments. Who's heard of the Ten Commandments? Have you heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay, have you heard of the 613 regulations? Okay, what does Regulation 600 say? Okay. But man just couldn't do it in their own ability. They still had sin in their heart. And so God said, you know, I love the world so much that I'm going to send my one and only son. And I am going to destroy sin. Now, I hope this works. Okay, close your ears because there's a big explosion. No, don't worry, I'm just joking. But God said, I am going to destroy sin. Just give it time, it's going to change. Okay? This is Jesus. Jesus came and he said, I do not like sin. I'm going to destroy it. Do you see something happening to the color there? Okay, it's starting to get lighter. Starting. It's not a very strong jig. Okay, but then God said, I love you so much, I'm going to cover you with my righteousness. Just give it time. We'll sit here till 12 o'clock. It should work. But the jig is very weak. But what's going to happen is you'll see by the end of the service, both these glasses are going to change color. This one's already starting to change, but it becomes clear. What was our hearts like before sin came into it? It was clear and pure, okay? And what Jesus does is he promises us that if we give our hearts to him, if we commit our hearts to him, that he is going to give us a clear heart, that he is going to forgive us for all our sins, and that he is going to make our hearts new, pure and new. We don't do it in our own strength anymore, but we do it by the grace and love of Jesus. All right, this big bottle of bleach. I hope it's bleach. but it's supposed to make our hearts pure and white again. And Jesus says, I will do that. Because you see, when we stand before God, by our own acts, they don't work. But God says, you will stand before me in the righteousness of Jesus. So can I ask you to give your hearts to Jesus? Will you trust Jesus? Jesus loves you so much that he gave his life for you so that your hearts may be pure and good. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that although our hearts are impure, our hearts are full of sin, Lord, that Jesus has come and that he has covered our hearts with his love, that he has cleansed our hearts through his love. And Father, today we stand before you in the righteousness of Jesus. And we just thank you for that. And I just thank you, Lord, for each of these children. And I pray that Jesus may become an important part of their life and that they will be blessed by Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to do two things now. I first want to call Louise up. Louise, can you come up with me? Yes, you. Louise, I want to thank you for last year for looking after the kids' church, making sure that they were all good and the teachers were good. And I just want to thank you for doing that for a year last year. And I just thank you so much. I just want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for Louise. Thank you for the work she did for us last year with our kids' church. And we just pray, Lord, bless her as she seeks to serve you in your church in other ways. But we just thank you for her and for the time she gave. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then I'd like to invite all the teachers and assistants to come up and the elders. We want to pray for you for 2025 because I think you need lots of courage, lots of grace, and you need Jesus. No. But can I ask all the teachers and assistants to come up so that myself and the elders can pray for you? So ask the teachers and assistants to stand. Yeah. I'm going to ask the elders, let's just pray for them. Let's just reach our hands out to them. Can I ask the congregation to reach out your hands as well as we pray for the teachers and the helpers? Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your church. We thank you, Lord, for your word that tells us, let the little children come unto me. And so, Lord, we just thank you for each and every teacher and assistant and helper that will be assisting our Gateway children in 2025. We just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come upon them. Lord, that by the Holy Spirit, you will empower them. And I pray that through your Holy Spirit, that we will be blessed through their ministry. And we just pray, Lord, bless them as they bless the children. And I pray that the children may become a blessing as well. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Over to you, worship team.
Won't you stand with us as we sing This Is Amazing Grace and just witnessing the amazing things that Jesus is doing around us, the awesome things that he's doing around us. This is only achieved through his strength and through his salvation that he did on the cross. He's capable of doing many great things. And so let's sing this expectantly in our hearts as we wait for these great things to happen around us. Because even though we don't see them yet, that does not mean that it's not happening already. So let's sing This Is Amazing Grace.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Shines like this mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. For me, all that you've done for me.
Yes, Lord Jesus, we praise your name, Lord Jesus. We are here, Lord. Use us as vessels, Lord Jesus. Send us out, Lord Jesus, so that we could be your light, so that we may send your word out to those who have not heard, Lord, that they may, that we may bring good news to the world, Lord Jesus. So as we sing this song, let us make our hearts open. Let us be in a posture to receive. Let us hear the Lord and let us answer the Lord, saying, here I am, Lord, use me.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. All who dwell in darkened sin, my hand will save. I have made the stars of night. I will make the darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Shall I send? in their hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, where you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I'm the Lord of wind and flame. I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide. Till their hearts are satisfied, I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, where you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I will hold your people in my heart.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you so much for being such a good God. So now as we go into this time of worship, let's just take a moment to thank God for all that he has done. Thank him for the cross. Thank him for the miracles that are never ending. Thank him for the blessings. For he is a good God.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good.
Favored, anointed,
Jesus' name. That should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has brought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul of captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shadows burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shatter the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over every arm and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
You're the one who breaks the chains. You're the one who heals the wounds, Lord Jesus. You're the one who goes before us, Lord. You go behind us, Lord. You're beside us, Lord. You have never left us, Lord. And you love us so, so much that you even came and died for us. So, church, can we just sing that one more time? Declaring it over our hearts, declaring it over our minds. Because he is the King of peace. He is the King of truth. So let us declare that in his name. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Because your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that your word might be anointed. Bless Pastor Wayne as he gives us your word. Lord, reveal to us your message. And Lord, work through us now and forever. Amen.
Have you noticed something?
It's clear.
It's clear. There was you and the power of Jesus' love on the cross has cleansed you. It took a bit of time. That looks doesn't look completely pure, but that is the jick that is now cleansed. The food coloring. On the cross, Jesus defeated sin. But unfortunately, sin still contaminates our world today. But he has defeated the works of the evil one. May take time, but he has defeated. One of the things I learned out of this experiment, my introduction only came to me this morning, was don't be like me and buy a cheap jick. Save more jick because it's weak. I don't know if they put water in there already. But the whole illustration was supposed to, like, the children were supposed to go, wow, because you just pour the jick in and the changes like that. But I did learn something. We mustn't cheapen God's grace. We mustn't try and do it in our own strength and our own ability. We can only come to God the Father through Jesus. Nothing you and I do, nothing you and I can do, will ever become pure again. But if we trust in Jesus and we trust in God's love, He will purify our hearts and His love will change our lives. Amen. But it's on video, isn't it? We'll show the children. So it's worth. This morning I'd like to share with you from John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. Let us hear the word of God. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." May God add blessing to his word. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was in grade one, I remember it as standard one, I had this lovely teacher. He taught me that there is no such word as "I can't" in the dictionary. You know, whenever you couldn't do something, "I can't do it." And she would say, "No, there's no such word in the dictionary as I can't. You can." But when it comes to sin, no matter how hard I try my own strength to live by righteousness and do things God's way, I will fail. But I can only do it, and I can do it, through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. The first two Scottish missionaries sent to the New Hebrides Islands were killed and eaten by cannibals on the day they arrived. After that, it proved difficult to find missionary volunteers. But even when John G. Patton agreed to go, well-meaning people in the church tried to dissuade him. One elderly man warned him that he would be eaten by cannibals. Patton replied, "I confess to you that if I can't but believe and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. And in the great day, my resurrection body will arise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer." After 15 years of fruitful ministry, almost everyone on the island of Aniwa, where Patton ministered, was converted. Serving God is not a guarantee of an easy life, but we are called to a life of service, even if it means giving up everything. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus also says in John 13, verse 15, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." What did Jesus do for his disciples on the evening before his death? He washed their feet. He served them. And what is he asking us to do? To do the same. He ultimately served you and I on the cross of Calvary. And just as he served us, so he calls us to serve him and one another. When you understand what Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, did for us on the cross, you will understand what it means to serve one another. I want you to understand that the cross of Calvary is not romantic. I want you to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, sometimes, you know, movies like The Passion, and sometimes we watch these movies near Easter time, and it seems so romantic. But can I tell you, it is not romantic. Did you know that Jesus was petrified of the crucifixion? Many times we think, but why would Jesus be afraid to go onto a cross? I mean, he's God. But do you know that he was petrified? Because the Bible, and it's one of those mysteries that we cannot fathom, but the Bible tells us that he was 100% man, and he was 100% God. That 100% of him that was man was petrified. Have you ever been whipped 39 times on your back? Have you ever had a nail, let's say a pin in your hand? Once I lived in a property. It was called a boerderaf. It was big. And there was something like 20 apricot trees, 5 peach trees, and a few orange trees and a few apple trees. And in summer, when it's like this, a day like today, the fruit bears. And what happens is there were so many apricots that you couldn't pick them all. And so what happens eventually is they fall. They get a bit fruit in the tree and they fall and they go to the onto the ground. And I love playing outside. So I used to go out there And sometimes, you know, I want to get a few apricots, but you don't want to eat the apricots in the tree, under the tree, because they frot. But what happens is, also all the other insects love it, the bees and the wasps. And one day I was trying to reach up for an apricot, and as I put my foot down, I stepped onto a wasp. And do you think the wasp appreciated me stepping on it? Boy, it was Aina. Like a good young man, I ran and go, "Ma!" and got my mom to fix it up for me. But I want to tell you, this Jesus, this 100% man was petrified of the cross. Jesus, this God, was also petrified of the cross. Why? Because he was going to be separated from his Father. It tells us in the Bible that there was 6 hours of darkness over the earth when Jesus was hanging on that cross. Now, we're trying to speculate and understand, you know, was it a eclipse? Was it, what was it? And I sometimes believe it was God the Father who had to turn his back on Jesus because of all the sin, all our sin on Jesus. He couldn't look at Jesus because there was so much sin upon him. Jesus was petrified. It reads in Luke chapter 22, verses 41 to 44, he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling on the ground. The medical fraternity will tell you, psychologists and psychiatrists will tell you that if you and I are in deep anxiety, really bad anxiety, that we can sweat blood. Not being so young anymore, I have an issue with blood pressure, high blood pressure. And if my blood pressure gets too high, it'll pop my heart. Now, I don't know what happens, but but just imagine, there's small little, fine little veins inside this brain. And if you're anxious and your blood pressure is high, it's going to pop some of these little veins. And it's going to come out of your sweat pores. That's what happened to Jesus. He was anxious. I can tell you one thing. Jesus was not going to drink a glass of wine and relax on the Muizenberg beach, watching a beautiful sunset. He was going to drink the wine of vengeance. He was going to drink God the Father's vengeance on sin. And so he said, "Lord, please take this cup away from me. Your will be done, Father." Humanity had failed God and were unable to save themselves through their own works of salvation. No good work, no matter how hard you try, will get you into heaven. In the book of Isaiah, God described our works of righteousness in Isaiah 64, verse 6. So again, I'll tell you, do not buy cheap jick. Do not try to cheapen God's grace. Because no matter how hard you try through your own works of righteousness, you will never, ever save yourself. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, God says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No matter how hard we work, in the time of Isaiah, they used to wear a rag around their head because, you know, it was hot there in Israel. And that rag is to absorb sweat and perspiration. And God is saying, no matter how hard you work, no matter No matter how hard you work to do things in your own way and to be as righteous as you want to be, it's not going to work. To him, it's like a filthy rag. No matter how many good deeds, or no matter how perfect you may try to be, they are not good enough for God the Father. It is only through Jesus that we will attain righteousness. Look at this. Jesus poured his life over ours, and he cleansed us from sin. Jesus poured out his life over sin, and he cleansed it. Did I say magic words? Was I a magician? No. I make mistakes and call Katlahong. What did I call it? I'm not perfect. But you know who is perfect? Jesus. Jesus is perfect. Jesus has paid the price. In Romans, the Apostle Paul writes, "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Look at your neighbor and say, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I turn to your neighbor on the other side. Let's repeat that. "For all have sinned." And shout it out if your neighbor's far away. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Verse 24 says, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Look to your neighbor and say, "Jesus saved you." Now turn to your other neighbor. Point at them and say, "Jesus saved you." We've got a lot of preachers coming through this church soon. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. It is God who justifies us because of our faith in Jesus. What is this message that seems weak and foolish to the world, but is indeed the power of God for those who are being saved? In Through the Valley of the Kwai, World War II veteran and former prisoner of war, Ernest Gordon, writes about a time that he and his fellow prisoners were forced by the Japanese to build the Burma Railway. The day's work had ended. The tools were being counted as usual. As the party was about to be dismissed, the guard shouted that a shovel was missing. The guard insisted that someone had stolen it. Of course, it was very serious, because if a shovel was stolen, it could be used for escape. Everybody could have escaped. Striding up and down before the men, the guard ranted and raved, working himself up to a fury. Screaming in broken English, he demanded that the guilty one step forward to take the punishment. No one moved. The guard's anger raged and reached new heights of violence. Then all die, all die. He shrieked. To show that he meant what he said, he cocked his rifle, put it on his shoulder, and aimed at the first man. Prepared to shoot and work his way down the line. At that moment, a soldier from the Argyle Regiment stepped forward, stood stiffly to attention, and said calmly, "I did it." The guard unleashed all his whipped up hate, kicking the helpless prisoner and beating him with his fist. Still, the Argyle stood rigidly to attention. Chin up, though now his blood was streaming all down his face. His calm silence seemed to goad the guard into a greater rage. Seizing his rifle by the barrel, the guard lifted it up over his head and brought it down on the skull of the Argyle, who sank limply to the ground and never moved again. Though it was clear he was dead, the guard continued to beat him and stopped only when he was exhausted. The men of the work detail picked up their comrade's body, marched back to the camp, and when the tools were counted again in the guardhouse, it turned out that no shovel was missing. Gordon and his fellow prisoners were saved by the Argyle's blood. How can we not be moved by such valor in sacrifice? How can we not feel the power of stories that point us to God's ultimate story of sacrifice on the cross, which is the historical truth of God at work in the world? It is power that saves sinners in the dark of night by exposing their darkened hearts to the folly of their addictions, compelling them to immediately tell someone the great news, no matter the hour. It is the power of the cross that sustains sinners saved by grace through the dark valleys and bad lands on the road to Emmaus. This is Christ in our place. Jesus Christ, the Creator, the very image and embodiment of the glory of God, offering up his blood for our sin and shame to save us from hell, sustain us on our earthly journey, and glorifying the Father by drawing himself to a people for his own possession who are zealous for his good works in their life. We are saved by grace and not by works. But we can show gratitude by God by having a servant heart like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My works will not get me into heaven. But man, I am grateful for what Jesus has done for me. Aren't you? We are sinners. We have messed up. Remember, you just told each other, I was your witness, that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. Some in big ways and some in small ways. I'm one of those that have messed up in a big way. But you know what? God has forgiven me. And man, I want to share that with each one of you. I want to share God's love. Yesterday I had to go into a commission, into a church that has been destroyed. And I went in there and said, God loves you. We can reestablish this church. And I went there not because I want to be the man. I went there because Jesus loves each and every person in that church. And he wants to see his life in each one of them. Christ's entire life was an example of humble obedience, submissive service, and an act of dependence upon his heavenly Father. He was the personification of meekness and grace, faithfulness and love. He was the one who created the heavens and the earth and through them all things hold together by the power of his might. The very breath of man and woman in his hands, and the winds and waves obey his voice. And yet he set us an example of humility and grace when he washed his disciples' feet. He spoke the world into being and set the stars into their various courses. Jesus was the visible image and the exact representation of the invisible God. He was equally divine and possessed the identical character of his Father in heaven, being equivalent in might, majesty, dominion, and power forever and ever. Amen. And yet, as the cross of Calvary loomed into view, the Lord Jesus girded himself with a towel and took on the menial task of washing the dirty, dusty feet of his 12 argumentative disciples. He even washed the sweaty feet of the unbelieving Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him. Despite his eternal greatness and divine attributes, Jesus set aside his great glory to give us an example of how God created humanity to live. He demonstrated in spirit and truth the way that God intended humanity to live, which was in a loving relationship with one another and a reverential attitude towards God. He lived a righteous life and behaved in the godly way that a godly way that humankind was designed to live. He was one with the Father and did only those things that he heard from his Father, setting aside his own wishes to carry out the will and purpose of his Father in heaven. Christ's entire life was an example of humble obedience, submissive service, and total dependence upon God in order to demonstrate to each one of us exactly how God desires us to live in spirit and in truth, in active dependence, humble obedience, and passive submission to our Father's will. The amazing way Christ lived his life and died his death is the perfect example of how each one of us should behave in our Christian lives. We should walk in spirit and truth as directed by our Father in heaven, delighted to do his will and learning obedience by the things that we suffer. Jesus' example of humility at that Last Supper when he washed his disciples' feet enabled Christ to say to each one of us, I gave you an example so that you also should do as I did for you. Jesus Christ set a pattern for godly living throughout his earthly walk. His life was an object lesson on how to live a Christ-like life that is well-pleasing to the Lord. It is only as we die to self and live for Christ that God is able to work in our heart and conform us to the image and likeness of Christ. It is as we die to self and live for him that he starts to produce in us a godly character that serves others and honors his name. God alone produces character in the lives of his children. As we live in humble obedience and full surrender to his will and direction, it is through our act of will, while being fully dependent upon God to complete the good work that he started in us, that we are enabled to carry out the task that God has prepared for us to do, for his grace is sufficient. But this can only be effected as we follow Christ's example through humble obedience, submissive service, and active dependence upon our Heavenly Father's will, and in total surrender to him. Finally, I'd like to close with this video by Pastor Rodney Yates.
Can you imagine a world where everybody had a servant spirit? Imagine what our culture and what our society would look like if everybody was less self-centered and more others-focused. Can you imagine what our world, what our marriages, what our homes, what our families, what our culture, what our society would look like if everybody would just even embrace what Jesus taught us, often referred to as the golden rule, where he said, hey, do for others what you would have them do for you. That would be a game changer, right? Can you imagine if everybody just embraced the idea, if it's not about me, how can I serve you? What can I do to help you? You see, it's an attitude, it's a posture of the heart. And one of the greatest single things that I believe can take place in any home, in any relationship, is to embrace the idea, it's not about me, it's about us. How can we serve God and ultimately one another? My wife, Michelle, 2 weeks ago on Palm Sunday, did a whole message around this whole servant spirit. If you didn't get a chance to listen to, if you weren't here, I encourage you, go back, watch it. It was powerful. Just the whole posture that Jesus came with, the humble spirit that he displayed. But ultimately, he came to lay down his life for us. In John 13, verses 14 through 17, you know, she even described this when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples and they were partaking of communion, the Last Supper together. And, you know, we just participated in communion a few moments ago, representing the sacrifice, his death, his body, as well as the blood that he would spill upon Calvary's cross for us. But do you remember what happened prior to the cross, the crucifixion? He gathered with his disciples there in the upper room. And even before they broke bread, even before he walked them through the elements of the bread and the wine, helping them understand what it was all about, before all of that even took place, as the disciples came into the upper room, they were met by Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus became the servant. And Jesus not only became the servant, but one by one, he washed his disciples' feet. And what's interesting, in John 13, here's what Jesus said. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. I'm just curious, how many of you want God to bless your life? The secret is found in what Jesus just gave us. As an example, embrace the whole idea of having a servant spirit, a servant heart, serving your spouse, students, young people, serving your parents, serving one another. Because it's so vitally important as we serve God and we serve one another that we keep in mind that God uses that as an example to a lost world who's walking and living in darkness because they don't know what the box top is. But when they see us exemplifying what Jesus did and what he modeled for us, guess what? It shows to the whole world that, hey, there's something different about that family. There's something different about that marriage. There's something different about that person. They seem to walk to a whole different beat. They are the most kind, servant-hearted people I've ever been around. That's why one of our core values here at Rethink Life is servant leadership is our identity. Serving one another is not just something that we do. No, it's who we are. And so we got to understand how this plays into a strong, healthy family. In fact, in Mark 10, Jesus even said it this way. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But I love this. But among you, it will be different. How? You're going to stand out. Rather than conforming to what's to the norm of culture and what everybody else is doing, hey, you're going to do something different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know what blessed my socks off and what blesses me each and every week is to see families that serve together through the church here at Rethink Life. This morning, there were fathers and sons that were helping set up. Back in the Life Kids today, as you're in here, we have entire families that are serving together in Life Kids. Last week, for the first time, we had a father and a son. They'd never served before, and they served on the Easter Dream Team. And last Sunday, they were at the front door, both holding up signs. And when I saw them, man, my heart was so blessed because I saw a father and a son. And I thought to myself, wow, they are leading the way. Why? Because they understand it's not about just standing at a door. It's not about just babysitting some kids. It's not about unloading a truck. No, the reason why they unload a truck is because they're helping create an atmosphere where people experience life change in the house of God. It's about influencing the next generation. It's about people feeling loved and welcomed and, listen, celebrated when they walk through, God, listen, the doors into the schoolhouse that we're transforming into God's house where the presence of God can be experienced in people's lives. Man, y'all forgot to drink your Jesus juice this morning. Come on, somebody. Hey, we got to have a servant spirit in our homes.
And so I want to encourage you to have a servant spirit. I want you to follow the example of Jesus. And I want each one of us to make a difference in the generations that are coming after us. We are the last generation. And so let us be a generation that brings Jesus to Gateway, that brings Jesus to Kempton Park. Let us realize how much and deeply God loves us. And let us share that love with each one in whom we come into contact. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we just give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords of our lives. And we just pray, Lord, that you will remind us once again what Jesus has done for us. May we, Lord, just exude God's love, and may we share that love with the world that needs to know Jesus. And may we do it, Lord, with the servant spirit. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're about to close, let's just take up the offering.
Let us pray for the offering. Dear Lord God, as we come before you by returning just a small portion of what you bless us with each day, Lord God, we just pray that you will take this and increase it to extend your kingdom in this place. Lord God, as we look out and try and do your will, Lord God, I pray that you will give us a clear indication of what it is you want for Gateway, where you want us to go. And Lord God, allow us to do your work in this place. Lord God, as we come before you, we also think of those that are lonely, those that are sick and not doing well. We just pray your hand of blessing over them, Lord God, that you will heal them, that you will restore their body and restore them to their families in the completeness, Lord God, we pray. We thank you that we can come before you in this way, and we pray that you will bless these offerings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Is anybody thirsty? I have water here. No, I won't advise you to drink this water, but there is tea and coffee after the service, and please join us. And let us close together with Jesus loves me, this I know.
Won't you stand with us now, church?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love me. But Lord Jesus, we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this new week, I pray that we go with your power and might. Lord, may we go with an assurance that we are loved by God, that we have been forgiven by God. And I pray, Lord, that we, with a spirit of servanthood, Lord, that we will share Jesus with others. And Lord, when necessary, may we use words. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Won't you just stand with us and join arms and join hands as we sing the servant song?
Christ to you, pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey, we are brothers on the road, we are here to help each other walk the light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, seek the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony, born of all we've known together of Christ's love and sister, let me serve you, let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us. Won't you please join us for some tea and coffee afterwards at the back? And all of those who do need prayer, the pastor and the elders will be here in front.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that will stay for the sins of the world. He's got praise and shame. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Ba da 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 da. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chain. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
No one.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
No one.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
No one.
Who can stop the Lord?
Our God is,
the Lion, of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
Da, 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 da. Da 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 da.
Yes, you too.